1 through 4. Oh, and thank you, Lisa and Sister Doris, for that music this morning. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to talk about four questions people have about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and tongues and all of that stuff, you know, and all the things that you hear out there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, read it out loud with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Let's read verse 4 a little louder. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I have one prayer, Lord. Do it again. And we give you praise for it. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them today. Well, glory. I've already mentioned this earlier in the service. That's what preachers do. We always preach the sermon before we get to the sermon. But I've already mentioned that we have Christmas where Jesus came. And then we have Easter where he rose from the dead. But we often overlook what happened on that day of Pentecost, 50 days from the Passover. You remember in the Old Testament, I've just been reading that through my Bible reading, how that the Israelites were in slavery to Egypt, and they wouldn't let them go, and so God said, I'm going to kill every firstborn, and so they slayed a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel did what, church? Passed over. And so 50 days after that event was the Feast of Pentecost. It's really called the first fruits, where you get the first fruits of the harvest in, and it represents the coming of the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Jesus died. So we believe in Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Amen. We believe in Easter. And here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. We all into Easter and Christmas. And by the way, it's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus on all of it. Amen. But do we celebrate Pentecost Sunday? The coming of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit had not... Now, you think about those disciples that were in the upper room. There's about 120 of them. But just a few weeks before, they were running, scared, hiding. But something happened on that day. And if the Holy Spirit had not come and filled them, and had they not obeyed... Somebody say the word obey. Some people think Pentecost is optional, like eggs on the menu at Cracker Barrel. I'll take them this way or I'll take them that way. I don't look at being filled with the Holy Ghost as being optional. I look at it as being essential. Amen. I look at it as something that is an obedience. And they obeyed, and God honored that. And on the day of Pentecost, they were filled, and they began to speak in unknown tongues. And those fearful, frightful disciples went out and did miracles, and the church was born. And because of that, we're here today. Now give him a hand of praise for that. Somebody say questions. People have questions about you crazy Pentecostals out there. Well, when I was a teenager, I mean, we were really wide open back then. Now it's a little more toned down, and people had a lot of questions. You know, those Pentecostals, and you know, questions are important. There are some people have all kinds of questions. Somebody asked, and these are kind of funny, so get ready for this. Why is it called hamburger when it's made out of beef? I mean, that's a question that people have asked. Have you ever asked that? So why do you put suits in garment bags and garments in suitcases? Have you ever figured that one out? Come on now. Why is it that they tell you there's 400 billion stars in the sky and everybody believes it, but if the sticker says wet paint, nobody believes it? When you see a sticker that says wet paint, what do you do? Don't tell me now. We'll have an altar call later. Why doesn't glue... These are questions. Why doesn't glue that holds everything together, why doesn't it stick in the bottle? Come on. All right. And then Somebody asked this, why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food? I mean, come on now. I mean, cat food that's flavored like a mouse. You know, it's flavored like beef and chicken, but why not a mouse? Anyway, final question. But why do you drive on Raleigh Road Parkway and at your house where you leave your car is called the driveway? Crazy questions. And I've had people ask me crazy questions about Pentecostals, like, why does the pastor jump all around like, I'm talking about Jerry Nelson, why does he do like he does? Have y'all had that people ask that? Oh, I know him. He was at a funeral and did it or something. You know, he was at Walmart and did it. Wherever he goes, you know, I remember one time, when I took the church down at Kinston, I left here, pastored here 8 years, Living Waters, when it was in this house. And I left and went down to Kinston. I had Pastor Jerry to come down and pray with me about the will of God. And we were standing outside the door of the church and it was like a Tuesday morning, about 11 o'clock. And I said, Pastor Jerry, pray for me. And you know, there's houses all around out there. And by the time I asked him to pray for me, I thought, I don't know if we ought not to go inside or not. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And sure enough, Pastor Jerry got to praying for me. And sure enough, some people started walking by and he started dancing, screaming, hollering, yelling. And I could just see I was looking at him and I could see the people walking by. It was a Jerry Nelson moment, I promise you. It was a God moment too. Amen. I appreciate somebody that loves Pentecost, that loves the movement. People ask questions about, why do we run the aisle? Why did this lady just do what she did? I'll tell you why. There came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and suddenly there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake in other tongues. Now, I'm not telling you if you get the Holy Spirit, you're gonna do like Pastor Jerry does, or you're gonna do like me, or do like Sister Ann Taylor, who was just up here. But I will answer some questions about the Holy Spirit. I will answer four great questions on Pentecost Sunday. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a proper name. Like, my proper name is Ricky. My improper name to you might be brother or pastor. Pastor is not my name, or brother is not my name, but you can call me brother, you can call me pastor. But the Holy Spirit, when we say the Holy Spirit, please understand we're talking about a person. We're talking about God. We're talking about the Lord. You see, we believe and teach, and I do not have time to go through it on Sunday morning, that of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are three separate, but it's only one God. Well, that sounds like you've got three gods. No, we have one God in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. Jesus wasn't born on Bethlehem and that's where he began. No, long before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. He didn't come from Mary. He came through Mary. He pre-existed forever and forever. He was the Son and is the Son of God. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. You don't have to go to these, Sister Darnell. Matthew 28:19 says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And there's some of these churches that say baptize in the name of Jesus only. They are in error. You baptize in that's the way Jesus said. I put you in that water. It's going to be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the way he said it. And that's the correct way to be baptized. And if you want to say in the name of Jesus, that's no problem either. But let me tell you something. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus himself was being baptized. Jesus was in the water. A sound came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit descended like a dove. That's the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus in John chapter 14 refers to him as he. I will pray to the John 14 and 16. I do have that up there, I think. It says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he. Notice the he's there. I will pray the Father and he, the Father, will give you another comforter that he, the comforter, may abide with you forever. God is called he. The Holy Spirit is called he. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. Can I get an amen out there? Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the what spirit? Eternal means eternal. Eternal means never had a beginning, and it means never will have an end. God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are things that you are never will be. God is love, and you can have love, and you should be a person of love. But let me tell you, there's things that God is that you'll never be. God is all-powerful. You'll never be all-powerful. God is all-knowing. You'll never be all-knowing. Now, I think, you might be married to somebody that thinks they're all-knowing, but nobody is not all-knowing. Amen. Come on now. All-knowing. You met some of those people that know everything. Come on now. But you're not all-knowing, and you're not all-powerful. For some reason, I feel like I need to pray. I don't know why. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. In other words, God is everywhere. Now, God is not everything. This little flower is not God. God is not everything, but God is everywhere. I remember one time I was driving through, I preached here on a Sunday morning and had to drive to Cincinnati, Ohio for General Conference, and Darnell was already there. She had flown in a little earlier for a women's meeting, but I said, well, I'm going to preach Sunday and then I'm going to drive. And I remember I drove all the way and I got into Cincinnati about 1 o'clock in the morning, but I took a wrong turn. And I'm telling you, I was in a part of Cincinnati that people were on the streets looking at me, and I was looking at them, and I'm glad I had the Holy Spirit as my friend, because I'm telling you, I was praying. Amen. I didn't know how to get to the hotel. But I tell you what, God was with me in that part of town. Amen. He is everywhere. Can you say amen? No matter where you find yourself, God is here. God is there. He's in the lowest of the low. If you find yourself way down low this morning, God is not forsaking you. He is omnipresent. You might be in a bad home situation, but the Holy Spirit is there and will help you. I wish somebody would recognize that God is here and everywhere. He's on the floor of the House of the Representatives of the United States. I went to Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, and I sat up in the balcony, and I felt God in that place. And they may ridicule him. They may try to vote him out, but he cannot be voted out. He is in the House of Representatives. He's in the Oval Office. He's in your living room, if you'll let him be there. But he's there anyway. He is everywhere. The Holy Spirit says the eternal Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Notice that word grieve. We understand what grief is. We lose a loved one in death and we're grieved. Or maybe a spouse leaves us and we're grieved. But let me tell you something. You can't grieve an inanimate object. I told folks Wednesday night, I can damage this microphone, but I can't grieve it because it's not human. If the Holy Spirit were not a living being, you couldn't grieve. You can't grieve him if he's not a living human being. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He loves you and he wants to infuse you with Pentecostal power. And when we say no to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to say this, and I've got friends from every denomination, and some of my favorite preachers are Methodist preachers. Some of my all-time favorite preacher is a Southern Baptist preacher by the name of Adrian Rogers. Don't listen to Adrian Rogers, because I love to preach his sermons. I mean, they're just that good. So don't listen. And if you do listen to Adrian Rogers and you hear me preach his sermon, just know he did it better than I ever will. And if it's good enough and blesses me, I want you to get the blessing from it. But one of my favorite, so I'm not against Southern Baptists, I'm not against Methodists, I'm not against the Mennonites or any other religious group. I'm not against anybody, but I am for the Holy Ghost. I believe that there are a lot of Christians out there, some of these denominations, they in theory believe in the Spirit, and doctrinally, and I love to hear these guys preach through Acts chapter 2, and how they get around tongues. You've got to explain it away, and they build churches on explaining it away. Brother, quit explaining the Holy Ghost away. Jesus, it is a gift, and if we didn't need it, he wouldn't have given it, and let's go back to the book. Let's go back to Acts. Let's pray for another Pentecost Sunday in 2021. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is Lord. Jesus is Lord. God the Father is Lord. Holy Spirit is Lord. And I pray He's Lord of my life, Lord of your life, and Lord of our church. Can you say amen? Number two. Okay, so we know the Holy Spirit is God. But what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? I thought I had the Holy Ghost when I got saved. I got saved and God gave me all the Holy Ghost that I'll ever need. Oh, you did you? Well, you're better than Peter. Peter, last I read, he walked on water at one time, didn't he? He walked with Jesus. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was pretty good and saved, don't you think? Not only him, but 11 other disciples. Well, they were born again. And if they had all the Holy Ghost they needed, then why did Jesus say, tarry and be filled with the Spirit? Can I get a witness out there? Now, please understand, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. Amen. If you even feel half an inkling to give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's working on you. And I pray in every service, Holy Spirit, work on people. Move people's heart. Call them to your Son, Jesus. And the Bible says, does speak of being born of the Spirit. Jesus said, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a different experience than being saved. Anybody that tells you you've got all you need when you get saved, in a sense you do. In a sense, when you've got Jesus, you've got everything. In a sense, when you get saved, you've got a ticket to heaven. You've got a mansion in glory. So in a sense, you're not wrong technically. But folks, the thing that happened to me, when I got saved in 1984, ancient days for some of these teenagers out here, 1984, I gave my heart to the Lord. Some of y'all got saved in 54, but hallelujah, let's move on. But let me tell you, the thing is, when I got saved, I had to go to school the next day. I had to live in a house that where my mother and father were not Christians, and the words they used at times were not very PG, but although they were, let me say it, mama, they were good parents and good and took care of us, all right? But they were sinners. And we opened the refrigerator door. There was Pepsi Cola. There was other liquids in there. six packs and all of that. Y'all follow what I'm saying. My mother and father, nobody, listen, they didn't have to tell me cigarette smoking was a sin. They didn't say, I'll tell you what broke me from smoking cigarettes long before I ever was even tempted is that every time my mom and dad got into a motor vehicle and we'd go see grandma or somebody, they both would pull, like they hadn't had one all day, but they would both pull out, yes, mom, I'm talking about y'all again. They'd both pull out cigarettes. Both of them at that time would pull out cigarettes and I would stick my nose in the back seat of the car and I despise that smelling of that cigarette. So I'm just telling you folks, when I got saved, and by the way, mom quit smoking cold turkey and dropped them, and thank the Lord she smoked free after all these years. Daddy never could drop, he had to go to the grave before he finally finished smoking his last cigarette, bless his heart. But I'm just, and by the way, if you smoke cigarettes, I love you, I promise you, but I'll roll down the window if we go on a trip, okay? But the point I'm trying to tell you this morning is when you get saved, yes, you get all that you need. But friend, you need something to go to school. You need something to face that temptation. You need something because there's a devil in this world and we ain't made it to glory yet. And that's why Jesus said, tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And thank God for Pentecost Sunday where we can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and God can work in our lives. You see, being saved gets you into the family of God. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you live victoriously in this world. Or say it like this, being saved gets you ready for heaven. Baptized in the Holy Spirit gets you ready to live on earth. Or put it like this, being saved gets you in the ball game. But being filled with the Holy Ghost helps you hit a home run. How you like that? All right. For you race car folks, being saved is, gentlemen, start your engines. You're saved. You're in the race. But being filled with the Holy Ghost gets you off through the checkered flag. Can you say amen this morning? You need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, if they needed it, James, John, Peter, if they needed it, don't let some preacher, some church, some first church of the frozen chosen, and if anybody says amen, it just, you go to some churches, if a good amen would put half of them on heart problems right then, because they are so rigid and stiff and dry. I went to a big church one time in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was a nice church, beautiful church, and people kind of lifted their hands, but the Spirit really got to moving, and they just sat right down on it. And I let out a good hallelujah, and about 16 people turned around and looked at me. Come on now. If praise shocks you, then let me tell you something. You need to get a hold of God. Amen. Because people can go to ball games and they don't sit there quiet, do they? Now, one of the positive things about COVID-19 is it shut down all these sports events. And I'm not against sports. Now, please, Lord, have mercy. The pastor's away and I'm getting in trouble. But I'm not against sports. And I love to go to ball games like anybody else does. But let me tell you something. If you can shout at a ball game and sit at church with your arms folded looking at the watch, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to probably get saved. Probably. Come on now. But if they needed it, somebody say they needed it. Think about the difference between a rowboat and a speedboat. Has anybody got a rowboat? You sit in a boat and you row. Anybody got one? Has anybody got a speedboat? Come on now. Has anybody got a boat with a motor on it? All right. Why do you have a motor on that boat? Listen, you could get in that boat and paddle it, couldn't you? We could sure use the exercise, right? Paddling that boat. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're getting through life with a paddle. They're just trying with if I can just resist temptation. If I can just get to church Wednesday night. They're just rowing that boat. But listen, the Holy Spirit is like the engine on your boat. Zoom it up, buddy. Hit those blue waves and go out there and enjoy God's blessings. Amen. Now here's another illustration. Brother, where you at? Brother Woody, come on up. Where's that flashlight? Now this brother done preached to the preacher this morning. All right, while you're coming up, I'm going to tell this one. Because I want people to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all ready? After the war, this was like World War II. After the war, there were some pictures that were in a magazine that showed three pictures. It showed a large tank, and this tank was bearing down on this little soldier standing in the sand. And just as the tank was about to overwhelm him, the next picture frame showed the soldier had gotten a bazooka, which was this new state-of-the-art gun that had just been invented, and it was a rocket launcher, and it would destroy tanks. So the first picture, get the picture, was this big tank, little soldier. The second picture was the little soldier gotten the bazooka. And so the third picture was this big soldier and a little tank. And my friend, that's exactly what you need. You need the bazooka of the Holy Spirit, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it will help you to defeat all that the devil throws against you. It will empower you to witness. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What you got for me, brother? Show me what you got. What is that?
You tell me.
It looks like a flashlight.
How do you know it's a flashlight?
I see a little light down there.
No, you see the works of a light.
Oh, so it's not a flashlight.
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. All right, that's a dead flashlight.
I used this morning in the illustration in the Sunday school class. God has called us to be a light. Amen?
Amen.
A great cloud of witnesses that we're encompassed about. Glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But most of the time, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you might be, let me see if I can get this right. God don't want us to flicker. Can I get a witness? Law enforcement would call that a strobe light. But what God wants us to do is be the light.
Amen.
And I can assure you, we won't be the light that He's called us to be, Pastor, unless we're full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I went and filled up the truck with gas because it needed to be refilled. We need to be refilled.
Yes.
And we won't be the true light that He's called us to be.
Amen.
We are left to be examples.
Yes.
And there is a lot of head knowledge in the church.
Come on, man.
But the reason the manifestation of God's glory is not upon us like we would want it to be is because in the day of Pentecost, when the day had fully come, the Bible says they were all in one mind, one accord, one place. Now, hear the Holy Ghost this morning. We are in one mind.
Yes.
We are in one accord, and we are in one place now.
Yes.
Anything you so desire right now, you can receive.
Yes.
Because God the Father is with us, God the Son is with us,
yes,
and God the Holy Ghost is with us.
Yes.
We need to quit leaving the house of God like we came. Right now is an immediate care center. Anything you so desire right now, you can be receiving it. He said He'd give you the desires of your heart. Shake off what you're thinking about yesterday. Shake off what you're thinking about 10 minutes from now or tomorrow. If we all get in one mind and one accord, because God is no respecter of persons, that same outpouring of the Holy Ghost can manifest itself to God's glory right now, brother.
Amen. The batteries are there. Now, that flashlight ain't going to work if it don't have batteries, does it?
Right.
All right. So the Holy Spirit is the batteries.
Need to see us like that.
We need those batteries.
See us like this.
Amen. Now give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. I think sometimes when I go to work, I am that strobe light because people get under my skin. But that's why I need the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, the words Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are interchangeable. Okay. Some people will tell you it's Holy Ghost, and if you say Holy Spirit, you're not talking about the same thing. Yes, you are! The word ghost and spirit is the same thing. Alright. Y'all still with me? If you prefer to say Holy Ghost, say Holy Ghost. I prefer to say Holy Spirit because that's more of a proper name in today's society, but both are the same. And everybody said amen. So, how can I receive? Here's another question. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the infilling of the Holy Spirit into our heart. It is an obedience to God's command to be filled with the Spirit. But how do I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do we need to come down to the front and let us shake you a little bit? Do we need to shake your jaw so you can speak in tongues? How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Number one, you need to ask for it. Somebody say ask. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? So, He's talking about parents who love their children, and their children come and they ask for something. And if they ask for a piece of bread, is a parent going to turn around and give the child a rock instead of a piece of bread? Or if the child asks for fish, is he going to turn around and give him a snake? No. The average parent is more than lovingly going to want to give. Look at verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Listen at verse 13. If you then being evil, in other words, if fallen humanity, if we have it naturally in our hearts to love our children, if we want to give good gifts to our children, parents, I know you want to give good things to your children. Amen. There's just something in you that you really want to give them. And if somebody else's kid has something and they want it, you're going to do everything you can to get it to them because you just have it in your heart. Now, I'm talking about the average. I'm talking about the ordinary. Of course, we know there's some abusive parents out there, some uncaring parents. But on average, if you being able to know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? First thing you got to do in this service this morning is just simply say, Father, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. I'm born of the Spirit, but I am lacking something. I need to be, I've got that big tank in this world bearing down on me, and I need that bazooka so that I can take care of all that the devil is doing, trying to do in this world. Can you say amen? The Bible says all things, Matthew 21 and 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Number two, believe. Believe. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Ask and believe. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, only what I learn of you, receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith. Somebody say faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are not made perfect by the flesh? You've got to believe. If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning on Pentecost Sunday, then you need to believe. He said it's a gift, and I believe. Did you have faith when you got saved? Of course you did. Somewhere in there, you believed that you needed to be saved. Somewhere in there, you believed that, yes, He has saved me. Somewhere in there, you believed that He forgave me of my sins. Same faith. Lord, I by faith believe that you're going to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then obey. Good. Look at letter C. Acts 5 and verse 32. And we are His witnesses to these things, and also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that what? First of all, I believe it's obedience to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's another scripture. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a divine suggestion. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Have no other idols, no other gods before me. And here's another commandment. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. It is not an option. It is a command. And therefore, obey God. Listen, if you are a Christian, and it's like, why wouldn't you want to be? Amen. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're like, I don't want that. I'm fine. Listen, God has a gracious gift, and He wants to give it to you. Why don't you obey Him and ask Him for it? And by the way, obey Him in tithing. Obey Him in witnessing. Obey Him in serving. Obey Him in sanctification. Obey Him. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're running around on your marriage partner. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues if you're shacking up. Come on now. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not obeying the Lord. We got to be holy. Amen? And moving right along, letter D, receive. Ask, believe, obey, and receive. Somebody say receive. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, what did the Bible say? They all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter, no, there's another one. There's Acts 8, Acts 19. I'm sorry I didn't have time this morning. But in every other incident except one, it said when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spake in tongues. Now, let's talk about speaking in tongues. I know it's getting tense and the air is getting thick. And I know people have 100 people here this morning have 100 opinions. I only have one opinion. This is what the Bible says. That's my opinion. It says they spoke in tongues. Well, I don't understand tongues. Well, I don't understand how to fuel inject the works in the Nissan Pathfinder my wife's driving around. I don't understand cars. I don't understand how the pistons work and the whatever. You know, I just pump the gas in and something ain't right. I take it to a man and he fixes it. I don't have to understand the Nissan Pathfinder to get from here to Cracker Barrel. Bless God. I just do it. Amen. I don't have to have a research. I don't have to go to the Greek. Are y'all with me here this morning? I'm just telling you, folks, quit trying to over-explain what's plainly written in the Scripture. Every preacher that gets in a pulpit and tells you that it's not speaking in tongues is not the initial evidence, they have to go around 50 different ways to explain. Well, why don't you just take the Scripture as it is? Now, don't seek for tongues. Don't come up here and say, God, let me speak in tongues. That's not what you need to do either. You need to say, Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit and yield to Him. And I'll tell you, I struggled with tongues. I struggled. I heard people speaking in tongues, and I would pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I would feel it, and I would even want to speak in tongues. But this little voice came and said, "You better be careful. That's not right. That's not right." And so I just would kind of squelch what I felt. And so I remember one time I was in my great grandmother's house, and I lifted up my hands, and I actually spoke in tongues in her front yard. And as soon as I spoke in tongues, this voice came over me and said, you just messed up. That was you. You are so." And I just put my head down and went back in the house and just, I don't know what I did, curled up in a fetal position. I just felt terrible. I mean, that's how bad the devil does. And then we had an evangelist come through, Assemblies of God in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. And he said, "For those of you struggling with being filled with the Holy Ghost, some of you get hung up on the tongues." He said, "You will sense it. You will feel it. Just go ahead and release it. And you might be afraid that it's not really God." He said, "Let me tell you something. It is God. And if you hear a negative voice, that's the devil trying to talk you out of it. The Bible says if you ask God for bread, He's not going to give you an evil spirit or a serpent. And if you ask for the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, let it flow, glory to God. Just let God fill you and believe that He will keep His end of it. And don't struggle with it. Just say, Lord, I'm here. And Lord, as you fill me with the Spirit, you'll fill it. Let the tongues flow by faith. Because it's not you, it's Him. And don't wait for God to move your tongue either. He's not going to literally move your mouth. You yield to it, but you'll feel it. Well, how does that happen? I can't explain it. Bless God. Can you explain a caterpillar turning into a butterfly? Can you explain volcanic eruptions and the flow of lava? Can you explain, if you're married, can you explain your marriage partner? You can't explain everything. Just believe it. Just receive it. Somebody lift your hands. You're about to get full of the Holy Ghost. Really, last point. Really, the most important question. It's not about tongues. It's not about, you know, who is the Holy Spirit. Go to the last question. The most important question, really, on Pentecost Sunday is really this. Do you want it? Do you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Don't tell me you want it and love it and you're going out there to listen to these preachers on the radio that talk against it. Come on now. And I love some of those preachers. I told you I love Brother Adrian Rogers, and he didn't speak in tongues. And when he got to talking about speaking in tongues and talking against it, I turned him off. Thank the Lord. If I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and he was pastoring, I would go to his church. I would visit his church. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd find some church out there where they preach the full gospel. Amen. It's important, folks. It's important. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Because when you really want something, look at, I'm about to fall over. Not in the Spirit either. Look at John. Don't blame everything on the Holy Spirit. It's just gravity. Amen. John chapter 2, verses 1 through. "And on the third day, there was a marriage in the Cana." How many of you are married people out there? Let me see your hand, married people. All right. "I need God in my marriage. I need the wine of His presence in my marriage." And it said here, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage, and they wanted wine, and the mother said unto them, "They have no..." Both... Go ahead to the next scripture, Darnell. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, 'They have no wine.'" Now, you know this story. This is when Jesus did what? Turned the water into wine. By the way, time out. This does not teach that you can drink alcohol and it's just okay. Because it ain't. Well, Brother Ricky, Jesus turned the water into wine. All right, fill up a glass of water. Have a prayer. If He turns it into wine, drink it. That scripture does not mean you go to Speedway and get a six pack. That scripture does not mean you go down to Myrtle Beach and have all kinds of alcoholic beverages and speak in tongues and say, I'm okay with God. It doesn't work that way. We study all of the scripture and understand that we as Christians, we live different than the world. I don't need alcohol. Praise God. I've got the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Spirit. I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need a cup of a Budweiser or wine or alcohol or Jim Beans or Jim Daniels or whoever they are. Listen, that's things that the world needs. East Carolina, when I went to East Carolina, they would get kegs of booze. And I'm like, why? Man, come to revival and you won't never need a keg again. And all God's people said, all the rest of you probably going to write the pastor a letter, I guess. I don't know. I got news for you. He's stronger than I am. Amen. But the point is, they wanted wine. And when you wanted it, he turned the water into wine. And the problem of being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't that God, you can't speak in tongues or whatever. The problem really is basically this. Do you recognize the need? Are you facing the big tank of this world? Are you trying to row against drug addiction on your own? My friend, I invite you to come down to this altar on Pentecost Sunday and let God fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God raise up Pentecostal churches again. Amen? And again, I'm not against other churches. The other churches down the road here, they're doing awesome things for God. And the Holy Spirit is with them as well. But there's a dimension that there's a missing dimension that the Lord wants for us today. I close with this as Sister Lisa will come and just position herself at the piano. And thank you for your help this morning. And Miss Lisa, I'll let you know when to start playing. Just kind of be ready. I close with an illustration about Socrates, the great philosopher. Socrates was known for a lot of wisdom, and he had a young man that came to him and kind of prideful, you know, just kind of full of himself. And he went to the great Socrates and said, "Sir, I would like to have knowledge or wisdom, whichever one. Let's say wisdom. I would like to have wisdom." And Socrates kind of looked at this young man and said, "Oh, you do you? Yes, sir, I do. I want wisdom." He said, "Follow me." You know, he was down by the coast, so he took him out into the water. He said, "What did you ask for, young man?" He said, "I asked for wisdom, sir." And Socrates took him and held him under the water and pulled him back out. And the man came up and water all over him. And Socrates said, "Young man, what was that you asked for?" "I'd like to have wisdom. I want wisdom." Socrates put him right back down into the water again. And this time he held him for about 15 or 20 or 30 seconds. And then he pulled him back up. And the young man was just, he said, "Sir, what did you say you wanted?" And he's like, "I'd like to have wisdom." And again, boom, put him down. And this time for almost a minute. And then the next time he pulled the man up, Socrates said, "Sir, what is it that you want?" And the man said, "Air." And Socrates said, "When you want wisdom more than the air you breathe, you will have wisdom. And when you want the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit more than the air you breathe, you'll never ever regret the day when your life was changed by the Holy Spirit." Would you stand this morning? Holy Spirit, just move in our hearts. I want you just to lift your hands all over this building this morning. He loves you today. I said he loves you today. If you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord, there's something tugging at your heart. The Holy Spirit is calling you to Jesus. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord, but he knows you. Repent of your sins. You've sinned. All have sinned. As the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, ask the Lord to save you. If you're not saved, just say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn to you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Ask, the first thing that has to happen is Jesus must be the Lord of your life. And if you don't know Him, what you're feeling is the Holy Spirit drawing you. Pray that prayer I just prayed. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, cleanse me. Number two, if you are a Christian and you've never gone the next step and been really filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want the new wine? What a gracious gift. What a world we live in with. But this morning, He's offering you that, what you need in this world. I want you to come to the altar if you would like to have the Holy Spirit to fill you. And then thirdly, in fact, everyone can look at me if you will, and we're going to pray in just a moment. Maybe you have been filled with the Spirit, maybe in a revival many years ago. Maybe you could go to the place where, like I was in 1984. Actually, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1985. But I can take you to the place. Maybe it's been a long, long time. And you haven't had the Holy Spirit to come over you. And you haven't had that freedom. And you're still rowing back again when you've got the engine. Why don't you just let the Holy Spirit refill you this morning? In fact, here's my prayer. I know we're still dealing with COVID-19, but on Pentecost Sunday, can we all just come to this altar this morning? Maybe if we could just spread just a little bit apart, but I invite you to come this morning, everyone. Number one, to be saved. Number two, to be filled the first time. Number two, to be refilled. Everybody needs to be refilled. Ricky Nelms, I need to be refilled. Come on and join me at the altar. Would you just step out of your seat? And Heavenly Father, we just come this morning in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, rain down upon this place. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Holy Spirit, empower me today. Oh, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Every hand's lifted, hearts uplifted, refill. Oh, Lord, refill Brother and Sister Pearson this morning. They are givers, Lord, and they've given and given. And now it's time for them to receive and be refilled and be re-thrilled. Oh, let Pentecostal power flow in our leaders this morning. Oh, God, touch my sister with divine healing. And, oh, God, the breath she has, more than the air she breathes, she wants the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's miracles going to happen in this house. Be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever been filled?